We grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. Sometimes we have believed things that we realize later on from the Word isn't right. We go, Lord, I'm sorry, that's wrong. Just confess, be forgiven, because this is so important. It attacks the faithfulness and the name of God to say that Israel's done, because it isn't. Dump those theologies and just believe the Word.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a letter from Michael from Wisconsin. He writes, Dear ETS radio staff, thanks for airing ETS on VCY in Milwaukee. We don't have a computer or a fancy newfangled smartphone, so the old-fashioned radio is still preferred by our household. Convenient to get Greg's real good Bible teaching while working in the yard, farm, or house. Please continue the ETS radio program. Thank you all much, Mike. Well, Mike, thank you so much for your encouragement, and it is our desire that the Lord would continue to allow His Word to go out through Equipping the Saints, and it is encouragement from listeners like you that just blesses our hearts, and so thank you so much for writing us. And now today we come to the conclusion of our look at Ezekiel chapter 36, in which we've been seeing the unfolding of God's redemptive purposes for Israel, and as we will see clearly today, God will save them. Okay, turn with us to Ezekiel chapter 36 as we begin.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
A theology that is from the Word of God and not from theology professors. A theology that is derived from God's Word, that we understand from that. It's so important because God's namesake is at stake, right? It's Him. So here, I just want to share just a real, we know right now, well, the question is Israel currently in the land? Yes. Are they believing in the Lord Jesus Christ right now? No, they're not. They as a nation have not been saved. This prophecy is still future. It is still future. It has not been fulfilled yet. It's not been fulfilled. Now, for us, we know that Daniel in chapter 9, verse 24 to 27, revealed that for the salvation of Israel to bring up in everlasting righteousness, there would be 70 weeks of years. And within that, we have that 70 weeks of years, actually 69, all the way up to when the Messiah was cut off. And at that point, God in His sovereignty used their rejection to bring salvation to the Gentiles. And we have the mystery of the church now. But there is a 7-year period where He turns back to work on Israel to bring their salvation. By the way, that's what Daniel's talking about. And it's in that time we call the tribulation. And the Lord calls the second half of it the great tribulation. And so we have this 7-year tribulation, which will come after we, the church, are taken up to be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We are not destined for wrath. And we'll be with the Lord, but then the Lord will bring upon the earth this. He will allow this to happen. And we see this day of the Lord throughout Scripture. Zephaniah 1:14, Isaiah 13:6, Jeremiah 30, Ezekiel, Zechariah 14, Luke 17, 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 Thessalonians 1, 2 Peter 3. It's the time of Jacob's distress, the time of Jacob's trouble, Daniel 9, Jeremiah 37. And in that last 3.5 years, we have the great tribulation, which is instigated by war in heaven, where we have Michael and his angels and the devil and his demons. They have war in heaven. It's in Revelation chapter 12. And they are cast out of heaven at that point in the middle of the tribulation. And we see at that point, he goes after the woman, which is Israel. And we see that he gives the Antichrist, the beast, all his power and authority for that last 3.5 years. And the Antichrist will raise himself up in the temple, Matthew 24, declare himself to be God. And that's when all hell literally breaks loose, that great tribulation. But it's during that time God will use that to purge the sin out of Israel. We see in Zechariah so clearly in chapter 12 and 13 that 2/3 are going to be purged. And there's 1/3 left. Okay? And we see very clearly that when the Lord comes, they're going to be saved. When He comes at the end of the tribulation and to destroy the nations that are about to destroy them and all the rest of life, we see that no life would have remained unless the Lord intervened. That the Lord comes and intervenes. We studied Zechariah on Wednesday nights here, and you might remember in Zechariah 3, verse 9, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. In that day, declares the Lord of hosts, every one of you will invite his neighbor to sit under his vine, under his fig tree. He's going to remove their iniquity in one day. We see in chapter 12 of Zechariah, verse 10, and I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of this Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication, so that they will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and they weep bitterly over him like one bitter weeping over the firstborn. In that day there will be great mourning in Jerusalem. Revelation 1:7, behold, quoting the book of Daniel, he is coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him. This is his second coming. Even those who pierced him, that's the Jews, and all the tribes of the earth, or literally land, by the way, speaking of the Jews, will mourn over him, even so. Amen. They're going to see him whom they pierced, and their hearts will be prepared. As we see here, God will cleanse their hearts. He will change their hearts so that they will be convicted of their sin. And when they see the Lord Jesus, they're going to respond and they're going to believe in him. Isn't this what the Apostle Paul shares in Romans chapter 11? Turn to Romans 11. I'm sharing a lot here today, but each one of these messages in Ezekiel, it's this same truth again, right? Just reaffirming it for us. Romans chapter 11. And on a side note, you have the book of Romans. You have that there are none righteous. The reality is that righteousness is only through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's how we're saved, is through faith in him. That's how we receive righteousness. And you have that in the first chapter 1 and 2, man's sin. Chapter 3, ultimately it's righteousness through faith. Chapter 4, what does that faith look like? It's Abraham. Chapters 5 through 8, the results of that. And then chapters 9 to 11, what about Israel? Chapter 9, Israel in the past, chosen. Chapter 10, Israel in the present, in unbelief. Chapter 11, Israel will believe. And that's what we see here in chapter 11. Verse 25, for I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Israel, Gentiles, see the contrast between the nations and Israel. And thus, what? All Israel will be saved. That's not all Israel of all time. That's all Israel at that time. And he says here, the deliverer will come from Zion. That's Jesus. And he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. That's salvation. That's what we see in Ezekiel. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. It's so clear. And if you look at Israel right now, they're like we were before we were saved. God chose us, but we were in unbelief, right? He says, from the standpoint for the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers, for the gifts and the calling are irrevocable. God does what he says. This is why it's so important that we have the right theology here. Say, well, I can agree to disagree with that. But well, I can't agree to disagree because it's a lie what people say. And we want to be gracious to those who have been duped by bad teachers. We want to be kind and not argumentative. Lord's bosser is not quarrelsome, but able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness, correcting those in opposition. If perhaps God might grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth. But we need to hold to the truth because God's namesake is at stake. I'm not talking about being ungodly and dogmatic in that. I'm talking about just holding to the truth about what God says, reading it, believing it as it's written. So then, Paul makes it clear that they're going to be saved. And this is what we saw. Remember, we saw it back in chapter 20 of Ezekiel. Turn back there for a minute, verse 39. It's all throughout the Old Testament, and it boils my spiritual blood when people write this off or spiritualize it, because it's taking the word and twisting it. God declares what it is. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 39. As for you, O house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, go serve everyone's his idols, but later you will surely listen to me, and my holy name you will profane no longer with your gifts and with your idols. For on my mountain, on the high mountain of Israel, declares the Lord, there the whole house of Israel, all of them, will serve me in the land. There I shall accept them. And there I shall seek your contributions of the choicest gifts with all your holy things, As a soothing aroma, I shall accept you when I bring you out from the peoples and gather you from the lands where you are scattered. And I shall prove myself holy among you in the sight of the nations. See that? And you will know that I am the Lord when I bring you into the land of Israel, into the land which I swore to give to your forefathers. God will bring about the salvation of Israel. And in that, he will prove himself holy. He will prove himself holy. And again, you know, I'm not on a bandwagon or anything, but when I come to certain passages that are clear, I'm going to emphasize it. I'm not on a certain theological, eschatological bandwagon. But when we come to it, we've got to understand what we're seeing is the truth. We got to hold to God's word. It is really hard, actually impossible, to write off Israel from your eschatology. That means end times. It's actually impossible, biblically. You can't do it. And there are many theologians who see the failure of Israel crucifying the Lord as that which cuts off the promises to them and gives them to the church. They call that replacement theology. And then they take the word Israel and just put in their minds the word church every time they see it. But folks, lest we become too smart for our Bibles, we see that God is not done with them and that he is faithful to his word. And for his name's sake, he will act and save them. That's why it's so important that we hold to the word of God, that we read it and believe it as it is, and watch out for teachers who may suck you in with a strong defense of the gospel intellectually, but then they bring in these other intellectual things. You got to be careful. Eventually it attacks the gospel at times, as we say. So if you've been, with lack of a better term, been spiritually duped, cheapening the promises of God by your own wisdom and reason, you need to confess it. We all sin. We all mess up. We grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. Sometimes we have believed things that we realize later on from the word isn't right. We go, Lord, I'm sorry. That's wrong. Just confess. Be forgiven. Because this is so important. It attacks the faithfulness and the name of God to say that Israel's done. Because it isn't. Dump those theologies and just believe the word as it's brought forth. Okay, back to our passage and we'll finish up here. Notice they're going to be given, this is really a wonderful portion. Verse 26, they're going to be given a new heart. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll be careful to observe my ordinances. Oh, this is great. This is salvation. He says he's going to give them a new heart. He's going to put his spirit within them. He's going to remove the heart of stone, a hardened heart, and give them a heart of flesh, a soft heart, a heart that will receive the word of God, a heart that isn't hardened towards God. He says, I'll put my spirit within you, verse 27. Wonderful New Testament truth alluded to here in the Old Testament as the Jews will be saved when the Lord Jesus comes. Born again, a new heart, a new creation in Christ. This is salvation, receiving the Spirit of God. This is salvation. And notice what he says, end of 27. It's going to cause you to walk in my statutes and you will carefully observe my ordinances. You see, you can't obey the Lord without a heart transplant. Once you have a heart transplant, his commandments are not burdensome. 1 John 5. He enables us to obey him when we're not sinning. When we're sinning, it's really hard to obey him. When we confess our sin, we're set free and we can obey him. Tremendous. And this is what he said back in chapter 11. I'll read this for you. Ezekiel 11, verse 17. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I shall gather you from the peoples and assemble you from the other countries which you have been scattered. Ezekiel 11, same truth. And I shall give you the land of Israel, same truth. When they come there, they will remove all the detestable things and all the abominations, and I shall give them one heart, and I shall put a new spirit within them, and I shall take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, keep my ordinances, and do them. They will be my people, and I shall be their God. Tremendous. It's going to cause them to walk in their statutes, to carefully observe, verse 27, the ordinances, to obey God's word. What we're seeing here is a new covenant. We're seeing what God promised these Jews while before Babylon came. We see it in Jeremiah. Jeremiah shares this. The truth of the new covenant. Let's turn there. I shared this in our offering time, but let's turn there right now. Jeremiah 31. The new covenant has three provisions that we'll see that point to those who trust in faith in Jesus. But all four provisions point to the Jews, as we'll see. Jeremiah 31. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And folks, if you say that's just the Old Testament, you go to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8. He says the same thing. I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel, the house of Judah. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8. So back in Jeremiah 31, he says, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. Notice this. I'll put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. That's what God does through his Spirit. That's what he does. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall no longer teach each man his neighbor or his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me from the least to the greatest. And that's the provision that hasn't been fulfilled yet. There'll be a day when the Jews from the least to the greatest know the Lord. And notice this all happens through here, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I'll remember no more. It's tremendous. So you say that's great. How about the church? How are we saved? Well, it's clear that we're saved through faith in Jesus by his blood. We, although we're not Jews, maybe some of you are, but we're mostly Gentiles, although we're not Jews, we are saved through faith in the seed of Abraham, the blessing that is for the nations, that all the nations will be blessed, right? It's for the nations. And Jesus made it clear on the night he was betrayed that this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. You see, although this new covenant is made with Israel, we partake of it through faith. We partake of the blessings of the new covenant, a new heart with God's word on it. We are his people. He is our God. And our sins are forgiven, remembered no more. You see, we're not Jews, but salvation is from the Jews. It's from Jesus. You see, when Christ poured out his blood, sacrificing himself for us, his death brought about this new covenant that through faith we partake of. But the Jews one day will receive that other promise in there where everyone will know him from the least to the greatest. They will not teach one another, know the Lord. Everyone will know him. They're going to be saved. And that's what we see in Scripture. Again, verse 26, moreover, I'll give you a new heart, but a new spirit within you. I'll remove your heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll be careful to observe my ordinances. And I'm running out of time. I would have gone to 1 Corinthians 2, and you can do that later. It's by God's Spirit that we're able to understand the Word of God. To those who don't have his Spirit, to the natural man, it's foolishness. When we have his Spirit, we can understand the truth of God. So let me ask you this. If the word is foolishness to you, could it be you need a new heart? Could it be you need forgiveness? You see, in Christ, we receive his Spirit and the ability thus to understand his truth and the empowerment by him to obey. Notice verse 28. And you will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers, so you will be my people and I will be your God. Notice that. Same thing, salvation. You know, this is eternal life, Jesus said in his prayer, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And notice verse 29, moreover, I will save you from all your uncleanness. He's going to save them from their sins. And even verse 33, the list says, the Lord God, on the day I cleanse you from all your iniquities, salvation. We see that the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. We know that as high as the heavens are above the earth so far, it's his loving kindness towards those who fear him. We know as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgression. Psalm 103. We know David says how blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Psalm 32, Paul shares that in Romans 4. Ephesians chapter 1, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:13, he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us in the kingdom of his beloved son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. John says, I'm writing you little children because your sins are forgiven. So let's finish up. Notice the result of the new hearts. 29. Moreover, I will save you from your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it. I will not bring forth famine on you. I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the produce of the field, that you may not again receive the disgrace of the famine among the nations. Hey, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you in the land. Then in the context of this whole portion, not that part, but in portion, in context of their forgiveness, then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourself in your sight for your iniquities and your abominations. That is genuine salvation. When you get saved and you start to remember the wicked things you've done, you'll loathe yourself for them, the wicked things, and praise the Lord for what he's forgiven us from. That's a heart that's repented. That's a genuine repentance. Blessed are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. You know, in these days, we have this felt need, raise-a-hand gospel, where you just say in words rather than being convicted by the gospel, which is the paragon of salvation. And people just say the words, but they're never convicted of their sin. If you haven't had a heart of grief towards who you were before you came to Christ, and I question, do you really know the Lord? What have you been saved from? So notice, finishing up here, verse 32, I'm not doing this for your name's sake. It's not simply for you. There's the Lord. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways. That's the current house of Israel, by the way. He says, thus says the Lord God, on the day I cleanse you from all your iniquities. That's when the Lord Jesus comes in glory at the end of the tribulation and all Israel saved. He says, I will cause the cities to be inhabited, the waste places to be rebuilt. That's the millennium, by the way. And the desolate land cultivated instead of being a desolation in the sight of everyone who passed by. And then look what the nations will do after this. The nations that come through the tribulation that are believing, by the way. And they will say, this desolation land has become like the Garden of Eden. Waste and desolate ruined cities are fortified and inhabited. Then the nations that are left round about you will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken and will do it. How can you write off Israel? He says he's going to do it. He's spoken. God's faithful. Verse 37, thus says the Lord God, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. He's saying, hey, you can ask. I'm going to respond. I'm going to bless you. I will increase their men like a flock, like the flock for sacrifice, like the flock at Jerusalem during the appointed feast, so that the waste cities will be filled with flocks of men. Then they will know that I am the Lord. He's going to save them. He's going to be faithful to his word. And so I ask you, have you had a heart change? Have you had a heart that has been convicted of your sin and has understood that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead? Have you called upon him for salvation? Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And let me ask you this. What about for us believers? Well, salvation is from the Jews. And God is faithful to his promises. For his name's sake, he will do what he says. And every promise rightly divided and believed, God will do what he says. You can stand on his truth. You can believe what he said. Stand on what he has said. Trust him. Trust him, and then he will be glorified.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the Ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. And Greg, as we close today's broadcast, give us a final thought for us to take away.
Well, Dave, as we've seen, God is faithful to his word. He keeps his promises, and he does so for his name's sake.
Oh, friend out there listening today, if you've been convicted by God's word that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, turn to Jesus today. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. So you see, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And brother and sister, may we stand on the promises of God. May we just take God's word and hold it firm in our hearts, believing what God has said, so that he would be greatly glorified in our lives.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.